Hey everybody, and welcome back to Keeping It 1492. I'm joined today by Kyle. Kyle, what's up?
Not much. What's up with you guys?
I'm just chilling! Tom, how you doing?
Doing well. I don't know what those two impressions were.
That's what kids do. I think I was just trying to like act like a teenage person.
I was kind of too, in a weird way. I don't know. I'm trying to just play my computer games, Mom. Yeah. Leave me alone.
I'm just like the very proper adult. Like, I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Yeah. So, Tom, how you been? How's your week?
Doing very well. Knee's not broke, listeners, all 10 of you. Mm-hmm. Thought my knee was broke for the fourth time. It might not be. I went to the gym. It was okay. I'm wearing a nice copper fit sleeve. Some product placement. So, basically, I'm like Brett Favre, but with less hair.
Do those work? Is there actual copper
in Yeah. there? Bear with us, I'm taking off my knee sleeve, listeners.
I don't want to sniff it.
No, see the inside? It's like copper colored.
Okay.
There's like, I don't know if it's helping or not because my knee's so destroyed, but. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like Abe Lincoln when you're wearing that?
Why would I feel like Abe Lincoln?
Because he's on the penny.
Ah.
Oh, set me up. All right, better. And that's our show. We'll see you next week.
That was good.
I saw like the commercials for those, and I always like admired the old people. And like, remember when they had the bracelets that said like that would help you with your balance?
Yeah,
I was always intrigued by those.
Because basketball players started wearing them too. Like a lot of athletes started wearing the whole little bracelets. Like I worked at Dick's then, and we sold them, and they were like $40 a piece, and kids would come to buy them.
Yeah, they were probably like $2 to make.
But you could get like you get 40 Livestrong bracelets for the same price. Probably did just as much.
Kyle, how was your week? Tell me. Anything going on?
It was just kind of a breeze of a week. My brother was up from Carolina. I'm going to Carolina in like 2 weeks, so just
kind of. That happened fast. Did you have plans previously
to go? Kind of like loosely, but got them solidified, put in the time off at work.
Are you going to pick some backo?
I hope so.
Yeah, you can pick up some cheap cigarettes for us smokers. I'm a part-time smoker.
That's legal to bring cigarettes across state lines.
Yeah,
I think it is.
That's illegal interstate commerce. That's a Fed charge.
Are you going to the Charlotte area?
Yes. Yeah. Finally, maybe I'll hit up the NASCAR Hall of Fame finally, and then I could do a live podcast from there while I'm smoking my complimentary Marb and drinking my complimentary Miller.
Well, there is a lot to do in North
Carolina. Is that what you get? Do they give you a Marvin and Miller? Is that a real thing?
We talked about that. And I don't remember. That was our hypothesis.
So what my sister did when I went down to North Carolina was she brought me to Bojangles, which is like Southern KFC. And it was good.
It is good.
But I went in, I was a little inebriated. So I went in and I felt bad because I was trying to pick out what kind of food I wanted. And it was like 10:30 in the morning, so I'm expecting like a breakfast buffet. They had everything out, like dinner style too. So you had like fried chicken, so it was like messing with my mind.
You can get those like little tater tot things. Right. But they're like quarter tater tots. It's weird.
You know what I love, and I'm sorry, like my mind's going like 1,000 places right now. But how Burger King does like it's like tots, but they're in like ovals or circles, and they come in like a little pouch. They're fucking delicious.
The Doritos things. You know, like Doritos. They're like triangles. They're like Dorito flavored like potato crisp.
Oh yeah, those look really bad.
Are they mac and cheese bites? I don't know. They're triangle potato looking things.
I'm
really not being too descriptive or helpful right now. But that's what they are. So Josh, how was your week since you were so nice to ask us how our week was?
So I was talking to Tom beforehand. I got a few rejection letters. I've been looking for a new job. It's been kind of like a mindless week, I feel like, but I've been like really like, I feel like in space, you know, I don't know if it's like lack of sleep or something, but I just feel like I haven't been with it all week.
You're probably not too happy either since the Mets are trading DeGrom.
That's
the new rumor, they're trading DeGrom.
See, people don't want to hear about my Mets fandom, all right, so don't get me going. I haven't actually watched a full game in like 2 months because it's been that disappointing.
That's the realest Mets fan out there.
It's tough to watch, man. It's very tough to watch.
You said you're feeling like you're in space. Well, I heard this conspiracy theory that the Illuminati actually transported the whole Earth into space over this past week.
Is that true or are you just bullshitting?
It's true. They
Dude, who the fuck comes up with this?
Well, people that have nothing better to do.
I just came up with it, but...
When
you think about it, it's like the whole Earth is already in space. Right. So it's like...
No, yeah, we are in space. Yeah. We are. That's...
But that would be... I don't know, that would be a funny conspiracy theory.
It's not a conspiracy. The Earth is in space. Every planet's in space. The sun's in space. Space is in space.
Space is ever expanding, which is crazy, which is mind-blowing. The one thing I would not recommend anyone to do is take mushrooms and look into the sky. Do not do it. It's a bad idea.
Or get stuck in a bathroom.
I've read that those are some bad ideas.
Me too.
Yes.
And looking at spackled ceilings, which is just...
Looking at red laser things or even just any kind of red light, not a good idea.
You somehow embody, like, you turn into a cat once, you know. I've read about it, but I'm just saying, you know.
It's just a whole human evolutionary thing. We just turn into cats. If you think we're all different, that's the way we're all the same.
And believe me, like, I sometimes look at my cat and just like, hey, man. Like, I had, like, this crazy epiphany one time, and it was a few years ago when I was looking at my cat's ears. And I was like, that is so crazy. How evolution brought my cat's ears to this point. And I was just so amazed. And then I told someone about it, and they looked at me like I was a moron. I'm pretty sure the listeners are like, yeah, you're pretty stupid. But I'm like, you just think of these, like, crazy things. Like,
it's right. I remember what I did today for my buddy's cat? I sent him a screenshot. Because I think his cat's the greatest thing on earth, and it should be immortalized. I actually sent him a list of what it would cost to get a bronze statue of his cat, so his cat could live forever. It's like $5,000.
You can get your pets mummified.
Yeah, no, that's... That's just weird.
There's a company you can send a picture of your animal, and they'll make a lifelike stuffed animal of it.
But since he doesn't listen to this podcast, I'll tell you guys. We go to my buddy's cottage on his lake.
What's his name?
August. Dan.
Dan?
In Rockport, yeah.
Fuck you, Dan.
So, we usually gag gifts for, like, birthdays and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking this year I was going to name a star after his cat. So his cat would always be above us, looking down on us, being all omnipotent. But I looked and I found out it's, like, $50 to name a star after a cat. And
that's
a bit more than I want to
spend
on a gag gift.
Well, a gag gift,
I mean, the cat's not going to have any idea that I named a star after him. I mean, he might. He's pretty smart, but at the end of the day, it's me spending $50 to name... a star, Charlie, Obama, Jefferson, Clinton, Di Pasquale.
Save it for that engagement night with Amanda Bynes or Chelsea Clinton.
Or both. Who knows, maybe we go to like a Shia Law Society. I can say as many wives as I want.
That's a pretty crazy...
That's what the Clintons want.
That's what they all want.
Whose idea was it like, we should sell stars?
It sounds like an evil alien plot. Like,
right. They talk about like these like Ponzi schemes and stuff like that. It's just another way to like milk people out of their money.
I think it's a good way to find where the aliens are, because you name one star after somebody, and then the aliens on a planet around that star will be like, someone just bought our star. We gotta
move.
Go find them.
We just got the eviction letter from the United States of America. I don't even know where this is from.
This is just some cat. It just bought our star. We gotta move.
It's $54 in shipping and handling to name a star.
Shipping and fuck you. And you're doing it.
They send you a beautiful 12x16 full color parchment certificate personalized with a star name, date, and coordinates, a sky chart showing you where the star is, a booklet on astronomy, and a letter of congratulations for the cat I'm naming it after.
See, I better get a hand job included in there too, or else I'm not paying it.
A hand job from like Stephen Hawking,
right? So dude, it's an elongated
Josh,
hand job.
You name a star after Bruce, I name one after Charlie. There would be two cats with their stars named after them.
They would have to be side by side though, but they
binary
would still be...
stars.
So, and by the way, aliens.
Do you know there's a list of two things not to buy for Christmas?
What?
A name of star is one of those two things you do not buy someone for Christmas. Apparently, it's a sham. You shouldn't do it for someone because it's a shitty thing to do. I think it'd be hilarious to name a star after someone.
I mean, scientists are really like, we got to change all our data now. Now ZY541 is now Bubba's
Charlie,
star.
Obama, Clinton.
And now these, most of these stars are non-existent, correct?
Well, they burn out forever. Well, they burn. They, well, not I mean, they forever. Last for like thousands and thousands of years, and then they eventually burn out. Like when you look up, we're seeing a star that was living thousands of years ago. It's right. Not like it's
a crazy perspective thing. I like to think about if you were far enough away, Pluto. So a crazy thing I like to think about for like historical perspective is and. In a way, how history is still creepily alive. If you're far enough away and you had like a big enough telescope to see what was going on the surface of Earth, you would see the past because of how light travels. So if you're far away, you could watch the past from the Earth. If somehow you had a device strong enough to see that, you can just look in a telescope and be like, oh, there's King Henry VIII over there.
Yeah. Do you know what a big decade for naming stars was?
What?
The 80s.
I don't get what...
I was trying to segue so we could get into our actual topic. The 1780s. We spent like 10 minutes talking about stars.
Sometimes the intros are more interesting than our actual
subject. What's that say about our content?
But the... All right, hold on. Hold on. Let me segue, because...
Or our society.
I mean, we're not going to be talking about Asian porn again, are we?
No.
No, we still gotta make the coloring book or the slideshow to
yeah,
go
with all the, I think Josh said no to that. It offended his delicate sensibility. We'll put that on our Facebook page.
Well,
not our Facebook page, on our...
See, now we're... See, it's segueing. So you want to segue into the 80s, but now it's rolling back into...
Weird art from the 1800s.
Yes. So, this week, we're going to be talking about... The 80s, the entertainment capital of our lives, I would say. It was actually an idea thrown out by Kyle. Kyle was born in 1990, but technically you're still a child of the 80s.
Because... I'm not.
What?
I'm not. December 1990.
December
1990. He missed the 80s together.
I was
altogether.
Conceived on St. Patrick's Day in March.
Is that a true story?
My whole family, besides my brother... Like, even, like, my grandfather on my mom's side, we're all Irish drunken results of St. Patrick's Day.
You're fucking joking.
All right, so my birthday's the 10th. My mom and my sister are both December 8th. My dad's December 3rd. My grandpa was, like, the 5th or 6th. And
St. Patty's Day, just, wow.
That's why, as much fun as I try to have on St. Patrick's Day, there's this fear in me where I'm like... I gotta really watch out not to black out and.
Well, you should keep a condom on your keychain or something.
Yeah, like a Lucky Charm one.
Right.
I'm sure they make some Lucky Charms keychains.
It'd be like a gift included in the cereal box.
They're all after Lucky Charms.
Like when you throw it on, he comes out and pops out.
And he's still got a bigger wiener than I do.
Damn, it's not hard.
Damn you, Lucky. Didn't expect this to turn into a big wiener contest or a small wiener contest.
So, I mean, that being said, I'm a very birth of the 90s, death of the 80s.
Kyle thinks he knew what the 80s were like. Didn't even live it.
I didn't even want... Well...
I was two selling lines back behind my elementary... Or, I'm sorry, my preschool. Getting ahead of myself now. Coke was everywhere.
Well, Tom, you were 80s, so...
We were born like a month apart.
I was
July 87.
I'm September 87. I'm still 29, you old fuck.
I know, I'm 30 now, but I'm like, we were born like a month and a half apart.
You're hanging out with the 20s, 20-year-olds over here.
Yeah, I'm trying to vicariously live through you guys, all your crazy trends.
Yeah. And our haircuts.
All like... your sex with random men and women, just stuff people in their 30s don't do.
Well, people remember what gender no longer exists, right?
Yeah, so I'm just having sex with everyone. Everybody love everybody.
So we can ramble on.
Sounds like the 60s to me.
Or the 80s. And now the 2017s. What is gender anymore, honestly?
Yeah. Okay, so that's for another episode. Hey, so this week, when we talk about the 80s, 80s were definitely a good time. Tom, I would like to ask you, is there anything you would like to talk about of the 1980s?
I would. I'm going to go first because we're talking entertainment 80s is the general theme.
Yep.
Correct? And were movies the best in the 80s? I'm pretty sure, Kyle, Mr. I didn't live in the 80s, but I'm going to act like I did. If you look on Netflix or anything, you can always find like great obscure 80s films that always have the same underlying tone, which is the Russians suck and we're better than them.
I think that's just one of the tones.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's in the 80s. It was about kicking Russian ass.
That was, no, I mean, that was like a handful.
The greatest film all time, Top Gun. In the end, Top Gun, Tom Cruise gets the Russians.
Well, what's that big one? The red something or other.
Oh, with the kids.
Was that even 80s or was that 70s?
That was with like Charlie Sheen and.
It's like the Russians invade and. Yeah, you're like, and like these
kids from the town.
Like Red October, Sean Connery kicks Russian butt.
I'm surprised you haven't brought up what, is it Rocky 3?
I'm not a big Rocky guy.
I will break you.
And in the end, he says that if we can all get along, that's just very un-American to say we can get along with Russians.
And we're still fucking hating the Russians.
But we don't make movies talking about bad Russias anymore. I feel like in the 80s, at least the random obscure movies I've seen, the anti-Russian sentiment is right there in your face.
I hate Russians, and I have no reason to hate them. I just hate them.
We don't have that anymore. It's, in films now, there's not like a common enemy. I don't think there's a common enemy you hate like in the 80s.
I mean, once in a while.
I'm not saying it was all 10,000 films made in the 80s hated Russians. I just feel like very popular 80s cinema, the anti-Russian Cold War sentiment was there.
I mean, you sometimes see, like, you know, like the terrorists in movies nowadays, like just some random, like, oh, he's wearing a turban and has a machine gun, or, you know, but I don't think it's like the same sweeping thing.
There was a bad guy. There was a clear cut bad guy that all Americans must hate in cinema, and that was the Russian.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no clear cut bad guy in film anymore like that. It was a different time.
But I think...
You guys got any opinions on 80s cinema?
Well, 80s...
No, I have plenty of things to say. I'm just waiting for... I've been talking
about
Russians are bad.
As much as I don't like the 80s, I feel like the 80s is probably the golden age of movies.
And then
movies.
You also, real quick, not to talk
don't
over
you... like the 80s?
You get awesome movies. Like, there's one movie on Netflix where Sylvester Stallone goes to an arm wrestling competition. He's a trucker. And his long-lost son tags along.
Over the top.
Man. Yeah. And it's like doing, you get great things like that in the 80s.
They were doing sit-ups on, like, the grill.
Yeah,
the
exactly. See, Josh is
that's
there.
Actually
Kyle,
a great
I suggest
movie.
You watch it. It's amazing.
I'll have to check it. It actually vaguely sounds familiar. I feel like I might watch it as a kid
like,
or something.
The 80s just had these great nonsensical films. Maybe because they're 30 years old. And,
and then
you look back on nostalgia.
He sells his truck, or his, like, truck gets destroyed. Then he joins his arm wrestling competition. And for the victor was this brand new truck.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're all truck drivers. It made no sense.
But it's like, yeah, it was like, it was definitely, hence the name Over the Top. The movie was over the top, but very enjoyable. It's one of those you can't, Sylvester Stallone obviously didn't take himself seriously. There's another film called Cobra that Sylvester Stallone did. The only reason I enjoy this movie as much as I do was like, there's the intro and he's like coming home from a crime scene and he goes in. And he's still got his sunglasses on, and it's like 7 or 8 in the morning. Opens up the fridge, grabs a box of pizza, and he's got like these like gay 80s leather gloves on, and he's eating pizza with his leather gloves on. And I'm like, it's stupid as hell, but there's still like a coolness factor to it. And like I know in our first episode, which was probably ranked up there with one of our worst, maybe this one could be slowly picking up.
I don't know. So far, if we stayed on theme, I think we're doing pretty well so far.
What?
Like for this theme? Episode? This isn't gonna be like 4 or 1. Isn't leading up to being like that crap.
There could be a That being said, there could be a competition between the best action hero actors of the 80s, and there were a few because you have Bruce Willis, you have Stallone, and you have Schwarzenegger.
What about Tom Cruise?
Was Van Damme
why?
Or 80s?
Are you
or
telling
90s?
Me Risky Business doesn't earn your praise?
Van Damme was no Tom.
Van Damme is my favorite action hero. You got Bloodsport.
He was more of early
Bloodsport
90s.
Too. Yeah, that's why I didn't really bring
Street
him
Fighter
up.
Time Cop is fantastic.
Yeah, I take it back. I didn't realize Predator came out in 87. That was pretty good.
But I feel like 80s movies kind of in general, I mean, I just thought of this now, but like...
Oh, The Lost Boys was 87. I really enjoyed that movie.
I feel like 80s...
A young Kiefer Sutherland being a vampire?
80s movies weren't afraid to experiment with some kind of stranger ideas, but they kept it, and they really honed in on making this, like, digestible, like, hour and a half long movie, whereas, like, the 70s, 60s, you try to watch some of those movies, and... They're kind of like more of like a long epic or kind of like do some real artsy film stuff that you might be kind of sleeping through, where the 80s is like, let's make this like, you know, the action movies really popular. but it's like, let's make this movie that keeps your attention the whole time and is like really digestible. Like the themes are digestible. You're not like,
well, yeah,
you don't need to go to film school and be like, all right, that was like Kubrick's establishing shot. Not to say that Kubrick, it wasn't like an amazing filmmaker, but it's just this like, all right, we have a movie that could appeal to a lot of people. And I love 80s horror movies. Like, I don't like the...
Well, that was, like, real horror. Like, Elm Street and, like, it was actual horror movies.
Well, yeah,
like,
it wasn't CGI.
Like, your hostels and you're, like, just over-the-top, gratuitous, just violence.
It started the whole slasher genre.
And it wasn't CGI,
the 80s or 70s? Like, the original, like, Jason films.
Friday the 13th, I believe, was actually 1980.
So it fits right in.
And I don't know, I always like that blood and gore better. I feel like it had more of like a gross effect on me, and just, if not believable, it just is visually more striking to see like them. I heard from someone that they mixed like for fake 80s blood, they came up with using like KY jelly to
make blood. Well, the only thing it was used for on set.
Oh yeah, especially.
Do you guys remember the film Can't Buy Me Love?
Can't Buy Me Love. Oh, with
a young Patrick Dempsey is the nerdy guy that has to buy the girl's affection to look cool. I feel like I know all these like 80s teen romance movies because like my mom was young, and she was born 80. Like I was born 87. Mm-hmm. It's like movies from like 80 to 87 were like age 10 to 17 for her. So I feel like I don't know with your mom too, Josh, but I just have a very distinct.
Your mom was born in when?
I was born in 87. My mom had me when she was 17. So she was born in 70, right? Yeah.
Wow, you have a young mom, Tom.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I remember all these corny 80s movies because she was a teenager in 83 to 87. I'm just, like, I'm looking through a list of top 80s films. Mm-hmm. And I just realized why I'm writing these really corny 80s movies because, like, it's just very, that's the time, like, she was a teenager, so that's why I remember these films. Like, seeing them as a little kid in the 90s. Like Can't Buy Me Love with Patrick Dempsey paying a girl to like be his fake prostitute.
I still think the 80s, the
Footloose.
You can't just shout out movies, Tom.
I'm going to shout out movies this
whole
podcast.
The 80s, like horror genres, like the 80s started it all. Like definitely with the slasher pick. There's this one movie I like from the 80s. It was called House. There was this guy who like bought a house and there's like ghosts and demons who live in it, and like he has to fight them off. But there's also like we're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street, which definitely had, you know, it's good and it's bad in the 80s. Halloween, which started in 78 but had plenty of sequels, some into the 80s, and definitely I would say Friday the 13th, which is mostly the quintessential slasher flick for the 80s.
Did the Hellraiser series start in the 80s too? I'm not horrible, but I know Hellraiser was really big well.
And I would say you did mention, you mentioned Footloose, which is a fucking piece of shit film. But, like, what the 80s could get away with.
What film was a piece of shit film?
Footloose.
Bacon brings dance to an entire town.
What the 80s could get away with, summed up in one movie, Roadhouse.
I love Roadhouse. I was going to bring that up later. I love Roadhouse. Patrick Swayze kicking ass, taking names.
All right, so, like, who comes up, like, to a fucking movie studio? It's like, hey, looking for $30 million. All right, what's your idea? We got a bouncer, right? Okay. And he saves a small town.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your $30 million. Right.
There's more than that. He fights the evil corrupt, the guy that's like corrupting the town. He brings classy music to the bar. He teaches them all how to bartend and bounce properly.
Oh, and
I'm sorry, I love Roadhouse. Kyle, have you ever seen Roadhouse?
No, but it's on my watch list for
you need to watch it tonight.
Are you kidding me? Go home. Watch it tonight, and then, like...
Come back and talk.
We're going to see in a week, he's going to have, like a semi-mullet, and, like, wearing a cut-off shirt.
What's up, guys?
You're going to move to a small town in the Midwest to go bounce?
Sam Elliott's in it, too.
It was a big movie.
Hey, I think you guys had enough. Time for you to get out of here.
No, but, Swayze is the stoic guy in it. He doesn't have much to say, but he, like, loves his, like, car, and
everyone in the 80s.
He's just a good guy. Right. Everyone in the 80s. And another thing about 80s
movies. What's obnoxious? Roadhouse had a $15 million budget, which I'm sure in 89 was a lot of money. Yeah. With inflation, they're saying it made $59 million, so it made their money back. And it was a charming story.
That's still reasonably...
It made $30 million at time release, so it's still doubled its budget, which is, you know, That's good for film if you make double your money back.
So, 80s, lots of boobs in the movies. Like, boobs like, were everywhere.
And the fake implant ones that were just, like, jutted straight out.
Mm-hmm. You know, oh, and speaking, so
and
now...
And bushes, lots and lots of bush.
And yes, lots of... Tom, you wanted to talk about the bush. So, another thing that the 80s would do with, like, with movies, like, they would do, like the cornball comedies. I know we still have a few now, but not... They aren't as prevalent as they were in the 80s, but, like, I'm thinking of, like... Tom, see, get off IMDb, because you're going to just be making sounds.
There's
like
a sequel called Roadhouse 2 that was released in 2006.
Oh, I know that. With Ronda Rousey?
I didn't look at it. I just saw a director.
Click on sequel. It. I believe it has Ronda Rousey.
I'm sorry. I'm getting sidetracked.
See, now you're...
I'm just... I can't deal with... Oh, this is... No. Jake Busey, which maybe I think is...
Gary Busey's son.
Yeah, he stars in Roadhouse 2. See the things you learn. We're getting really side... I'm shutting off the internet. I'm done.
Yeah,
it's off.
Yes.
So, Rodney Dangerfield also was in...
I love Rodney Dangerfield.
Back to School. I don't know if you remember that. It was a good 80s
film. And remember, you're a melon. My dad always said that to me. Like, I don't know.
When he... Like, there were so many, like, things, like, he did in that movie that obviously couldn't happen. But, like, he bought, like, the room next to his son. And he, like, opened... He, like, knocked on the wall so they would have a combining dorm. And he had, like, a hot tub in there and all that.
He had Kurt Vonnegut write his essay for, like, Slaughterhouse-5.
Yeah.
And Kurt Vonnegut makes a cameo and, like, gives it to him. And then he only gets, like, a D or something.
And there's that iconic moment with the one guy about the Vietnam War where they give him, like, the shitty answers. And doesn't Dangerfield... You know the one I'm talking about? When they're in the class. And
is like, that where the teacher is, like, the veteran or something who's, like, all crazy?
Okay, I'm reading this by my recollection. It was
not
very...
the teacher he was sleeping with. Was it the teacher who was trying to bring him down?
I don't know. It was a very famous scene. I'm ruining it by not remembering, so I'm going to put it away.
Which...
I get no respect.
Another thing that I would say from that movie, because at the end, like, most 80s movies, they have, like, this kind of...
From that movie came Caddyshack?
No. Yes, Caddyshack, another brilliant, but, like, 80s films always did, like, this great, like, they would have almost, like a montage where, like, somehow they were down, but they would, you know, find a way to get back up and, like, beat the person who was trying to bring them down. Another one, like, I'm thinking, like, Teen Wolf, but, like, in, we were just talking about the Rodney Dangerfield movie, Back to School, where he gets found out for... paying to get in, and then he has to go take all these tests, and they do like the music montage, and he eventually ends up passing, and then he goes to see his son, who's in a diving contest, and his son like messes up, and they're down, but Rodney Dangerfield goes up on the diving board and does this like impeccable dive, and they win the competition, and it's like shit that would never happen, like.
No,
80s.
That's a lot like Top Gun, where like everything's going great for Tom Cruise, then Goose dies, and he gets really sad, and he doesn't want to fly anymore.
I've never seen Top Gun.
It's the greatest film ever. It's Tom Cruise's second greatest film. It goes Last Samurai, Top Gun.
No.
Last Samurai is still shown in many world history high school classes.
It's one of the best films ever made. And it also proves the whole... It also proves the very common film theme of the Great White Hope. Because you have this white Civil War soldier that leads all the samurais against the emperor, so it's a quintessential Great White Hope film.
Yeah, I think the
well that's the was Japanese made in the 2000s, so we shouldn't talk about that because we're talking about the 80s and how great Tom Cruise was about getting over Goose's death to still be the top gun and fight off the Russians.
See, it's so true.
I left you all speechless.
If you wanna see who won the Cold War, or really, we should look at the Cold War more as a battle. Fought with movies. We beat the Russians plenty of times in movies. How many times did Russians beat us in blockbuster hits?
Oh, I can tell you. Zero.
The Russians should have stopped the space race, stopped the arms race, and focused on Moscow wood.
Not to get into it, but if you look at how Russian portrays Americans in films, it's much different than us. You know, we're talking about, like, they're always portrayed as the bad guy, you know, like the enemy that must be defeated. Mm-hmm. Not always, but most of the time. In Russia, if they portray Americans, it's not a combative relationship like that.
Well, because they had a different strategy.
I've also not seen too many Russian films that portray Americans.
I mean, I haven't really seen too many Russian films at all.
From what I've read articles, it says we're not portrayed the same way as Russians get portrayed in Hollywood.
Like, well, you gotta figure...
How are we portrayed? Like,
we're just kind of side characters. Like, we're not the giant evil that must be defeated. We're not, like, the bad guy or the bad spy trying to steal, like, secrets. Like, we're just kind of characters because they're very nationalistic. So, as opposed to it, it's all about Russian pride as opposed to beating the bad guy. It's about, like, Russians overcoming whatever obstacles and just being awesome and being Russian. Like, fighting bears out their shirts type of crap.
Oh, if you look at, like, their late strategy in the Cold War is kind of, they're looking more at, like, the whole world against them, not just the U.S., and they kind of just thought capitalism would fail on its own. Like, it would just collapse and...
Maybe if they could have lasted, like, 30 more years, they might
have. I find it compelling, not to get too down this road, but I think the Russians weren't really that communist. They were more just state capitalists, but sucky because they weren't able to engage in international trade.
You can't evenly distribute resources. People always want more. That's why communism will never work.
Well, everyone gets fed. Everyone gets a job.
I would argue differently. How many millions of Russians died?
Just in the beginning. And then women's got their rights in Russia for a little bit.
Sorry.
In Russia, vodka drink you.
All right, Kyle or Josh, are we done with the 80s films? Are we going to move on to other entertainment sectors of the 80s?
Since the theme is entertainment of the 80s, we should kind of segue into TV shows. Like, what, and like, I'm going to try to summarize, like, or sum this up for us. What was your, like, kind of... To you, what was the quintessential 80s TV show?
See, I don't really know because I feel like I'm in the early 90s. So, like, the shows I really remember watching growing up were shows like Full House and stuff like that, which is the early 90s. I don't think I really have a lot of 80s TV in me. Like, Full House, I'm just set up, but Full House was 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, things like Family Matters and stuff like that were early 90s. Like, I was actually a child.
I can't remember too many shows either, but what comes to mind immediately is Double G.
The Golden Girls, hell yeah. Yeah. And I was going
to
say,
why do we have to bring that up?
Golden Girls is one of the best shows of all time.
I think people look at Golden Girls, like you're scrolling, they just got added to Hulu, you're scrolling through Hulu, and you see that and you're like, oh, like that show's for old people because it's about old people. And then you watch it, and the jokes they got away with are... You know, I mean, not even got away with, but like the innuendos and everything, they're very raunchy.
Mine does count. Full House was 87, so that counts.
Yeah, I told you late 80s. But
oh, MacGyver. I did watch MacGyver on Netflix. That show makes no sense. That show's terrible.
I watched MacGyver one time.
I know. I watched the first four seasons, dude. I went the whole way through. I was in. Like,
MacGyver's
Cheers.
Shitty, dude.
Like, I know Cheers is considered one of the greatest series of all time. I don't like Cheers.
Cheers is good, too.
Like, the Sam and Diane stuff, I just turned it off. I'm like, this is dumb.
Tom, you talking about MacGyver, it would be like the same as me, like, because I go home and I've been watching, like, I get really invested in, like, a show. So right now I'm watching American Greed, which is, like, a show on CNBC. And it's the same thing. Every episode is the fucking same thing.
But I don't know. I mean,
MacGyver's the same shit. Like, he finds a toothpick, a rubber band, and he makes, like, a spiky dildo that kills somebody.
Yeah, but he's got the hair and he always wins. That's another thing. Like, it's not always the Russians, but there's always a bad guy that MacGyver defeats without using a gun.
Is he like Batman? Is he against guns?
Yeah, I highly suggest you go home and watch MacGyver.
No. All right, because if they were actual bad guys in that show, when they lock him up or he's in a situation of dire straits, they would fucking kill him.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be anything. Like, if it was the cartel, MacGyver would be dead.
I'm not saying the show's not impractical or anything. I mean, it makes zero sense, but that's why we watch shows. We like shows that don't make sense.
He just happens to find all the Dr. Evil villains, like, my elaborate plan.
I would use his gun, but my finger is bruised.
No, there's like one MacGyver episode that's really terrible. It's like a knockoff Rambo
all
for 40 minutes.
Which is the whole show.
No, like, this one, he goes like an Asian town and like kills all the Asians. It was like, it was very racist and it...
MacGyver killed a bunch of Asians?
It was like the third or fourth episode. I'm just saying,
didn't know he had it in him.
The whole time they're like, give me 10 minutes. 10 minutes. 10 minutes,
just,
you'll be done.
Kyle, watch the first 5 episodes of MacGyver. I promise you, like 3.5 hours of your time.
I watched like a half an hour of one MacGyver, and it did leave me wanting a little more. It was like MacGyver's bumbling sidekick got trapped under an avalanche.
Oh,
and he had like a broken leg.
Dig him out.
Yeah, and they have to find, and he like somehow finds like a little straw that...
Yeah, oh,
he dug him out with a straw?
MacGyver.
Oh, no, MacGyver was
no, in the avalanche. No, his friend got stuck in the avalanche. MacGyver had to use his wits and smarts to get him out.
All right, here's what I would do if I was in MacGyver's situation. Start peeing on the snow. Melt it a little bit, and if I can't get through to him, leave him there. Go get a beer.
Like,
pee on the snow, you got yourself a cheap snow cone.
Because he, like, MacGyver actually had to leave the show because there was no supporting cast. He had to quit because of the strenuous of film, because it's all him.
Fuck.
He
fuck
had his
you, Richard Dean Anderson.
That's what he said.
Richard Dean Anderson is his name.
Yeah. You lazy bastard.
His only two co-stars.
He hasn't had a career since.
His only two co-stars were the one guy that got lost in the avalanche, and a young Terry Hatcher was like the only two people that were in the film.
Sexy, man.
Yeah, with the hair and the bush.
Oh, I saw her boobs in Tango and Cash, by the way, which is another great 80s movie. So speaking of 80s shows, ones I hated, Matlock, that my grandma used to make me watch.
I used to watch that at my grandma's house when I was a little kid. And I had like a weird infatuation when I was like 6 years old. I was just like, I'm going to watch Matlock.
You're such an old man.
I'm an old soul. I was born and I was already like 55.
You're already sitting there watching Matlock.
Like my grandma didn't even like Matlock. It was Kyle, she just didn't have cable.
Kyle,
so
how much
like,
Columbo do you watch?
I love Columbo. I need to get back on it, but Columbo's amazing.
Do you really?
That's more like 60s, 70s though. The first episode is really good, and it's actually directed by Steven Spielberg.
So can I, for Columbo?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
So here, I'm going to, all right, so just to give our listeners a little idea of it, I'll make sure it's not too pressed up against the microphone. Out of like 80s theme songs, Matlock is probably up there. But it seems like you're going into like a red light district, right?
Yeah, I've watched this recently on MeTV.
Like, there's Andy Griffith. Oh, he's got some cocaine now. Okay, where's he going? Oh, he's going to get some hookers. Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, he's going to stay up all night drinking. Okay. Oh, what's that? He's going to ignore his family? Okay. Oh, wait, he's a lawyer too. Okay, that's fine then.
What Matlock did for our prime demographics... Our prime demographics, Matlock did amazing things for the senior citizen community, showing that, hey, I should be a retired lawyer, but I'm still at it.
Isn't that what Golden Girls did, too? So that the geriatric community could still be funny and still be mobile?
Right, right. That was the purpose behind that show. But Golden Girls was definitely ahead of their time with the humor. It took me a long time to actually appreciate Golden Girls, but I think it's...
Isn't the one of them still kicking?
Betty White, who was the actual... She was the oldest one who on the show, and she's still living.
Isn't she like 100 now?
96.
You would think Sophia's the oldest, but she was actually younger than...
Youngest.
Oh, she was the youngest? Yep. Yeah. You just saw makeup.
There's actually a cafe in New York City that's based off of Rue McCallahan that's called Rue LaRue, but it's like a cafe that has like all... It's all Golden Girls themed.
Did you go there?
I wanted to. I didn't have enough time. I told like Rebecca and she was like, oh, let's go. And I was totally about it too. I'm like, I want to get a scone. I wanted to get a cheesecake because it would like, once you go to Golden Girls Cafe, you want to get a cheesecake because they're all about the cheesecake.
I'll take your word for it.
So best 80 shows to Tom, you say Full House. Kyle, you say Golden Girls?
Yeah.
I'm with Kyle on Golden Girls.
Okay, there you have it. We've done 80s film and TV. Kyle, what a... sector of entertainment in the 80s, or you want to talk about?
Let's focus on what made me hate the 80s so much as a teenager.
I wonder what this is.
Cocaine. 80s music.
Hair metal.
Ooh.
Which has lots to do with cocaine. And yes, it's the hair metal. You see, I was kind of a metalhead when I was middle school, early
Creed,
high school.
Nickelback.
System of a Down and like death metal like band. I love Scandinavian death metal, like Children of Bodom or Amon Amarth. 80s metal was like a whole different animal. It's just like very...
like Guns N' Roses?
Guns N' Roses is a little different because they're like getting into the grunge a little bit, you know? It's like, yeah. But
all right, they're the only 80s band I know, so I just shot my load there.
Oh, you know more than that, Tom.
Well, I know like the greatest rock
I'm talking about like, you know, you got... your Motley Crue, your Poison, and I just never, like, even as a guitar player, it's like I could appreciate, like, how the solos are pretty good and stuff, but it just sounds so similar. It sounds just so overproduced, I think, is the trait of the whole 80s, really. Like, this like, focus on, like, we could make things really nice in the 80s, and we're gonna do that. We're gonna make our cocaine really nice. We're gonna make our music. We're gonna add synth and computers, and yeah.
Kyle, I would argue the difference. You say you hate hair metal. I would argue that if hair metal is led to the greatest music of all time, so we should embrace hair metal. Because hair metal made it cool to, you know, like, be a man, but be sensitive and sing about your feelings. So, without hair metal, do we get Dashboard Confessional? I don't think so.
Yeah,
So, I would argue that hair metal paved the way for the greatest genre of music ever.
Well, I'm glad you brought that connection up, because a lot of, you know, it's called pop punk. It's called pop
amazingness.
But to me, it is closer to hair metal than it is to punk rock. That because of the overproduction and because of the androgyny, though, isn't really what makes me upset about hair metal. But I think some part of the androgyny is that just that focus on the image, kind of, because, like, David Bowie, I love David Bowie. He really, like, started, you could say David, yeah, Bowie was a big starter of hair metal, but I mean, more so, I think the style, the androgyny, to him, I mean,
Josh,
that was big on the image too.
Yeah. But how do you feel about 80s music?
About 80s music? I think it's the worst period of music of all time.
Oh, okay.
Kyle, I'm glad you didn't, like, I never really thought about it, though, like, you just mentioned that David Bowie kind of was the originator of the androgynous music that of the 80s, and that's actually very true, because you would even, like, I think there was a band called the New York Dolls, as well as,
yeah,
Lou Reed in the Velvet Underground, because Lou Reed was kind of, like, he left his sexuality, like, out there in the open, and that was kind of, like, with a lot of the 80s, like, it was, even though they were, like, notorious, like, womanizers, these guys, like, were very effeminate, and they left, like their sexuality, it was all about excess, like makeup, your hair was big, your clothes were extreme, but the music was absolutely horrible. I think all of them wanted to, like, they all kind of started around the same time. The only band I think that will get respect, or bands I should say, like, going forward, maybe in, like, another 10-20 years, maybe Van Halen and Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses.
I mean, you could say Van Halen started in the 70s, too, so it's not, I mean, even though he's more, you know, an 80s big-time guy, but
80s, everything about the 80s is bad. I mean, the only good thing, I shouldn't say the only good thing, but, like, there were certain bands that came out of it that actually made their own niche, like, that went with the theme of the 80s. Like, for instance, Hall & Oates was the band.
Yeah,
that was able,
yeah,
to form their own identity.
And Hall & Oates is super 80s, you know, they got, like, the very, like, kind of, like, drum machine backing. I mean, at least it sounds like that, and, you know, all these 80s, like, synth, everything, but they made it kind of, like, a more unique thing. A lot of their songs show, like, different variety from each other. That's where it matters, I think. And, like, getting back to David Bowie, I was trying to, like, battle that in my head. It's like, well, he started the whole, like, focus on the image, but he had this awesome music to match,
mm-hmm,
art, very artistic music, and he also changed up his persona probably more than like really any rock star.
But that's what he was notorious for. What we're also forgetting about is a lot of the bands of the 80s, Blondie, Talking Heads.
Well, they're all great. I mean,
the Ramones.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of bands. Like, I guess the hair metal era overshadows most of it because it was so, like, so extreme. Like, you almost forget about it. Like, I group bands like the Talking Heads as a band that was kind of with, to me, the Talking Heads is like a classic rock juggernaut. I just think the 80s, I group the 80s just from that, you know, 4 or 5 year period of the hair metal.
I think it sucks that the hair metal overshadows a lot of that other music, because you have, you know, New Wave gets trashed on a lot, but Tom's one of his favorite bands from the 80s.
I was going to bring that up when you guys are done bashing the 80s, because I mean, it's obvious the 80s created all the best music ever. Like, if
see,
we didn't,
why? No,
if,
no,
listen,
they didn't.
If we didn't have bands like Flock of Seagulls, are you telling me the Backstreet Boys don't exist?
Okay.
They paved the way for everything good in
Duran,
our lives.
And
you're looking, no, fuck, all right, Tom, you're fucking wrong. Because, or what, all right, question one, what are the Backstreet Boys?
The best pop band ever.
Okay, no, what kind of music group are they? A boy band group, okay? Think of 80s boy band groups.
I was...
New Edition.
They're not a boy band.
New
they're
Kids on the Block.
I mean, you can even go back to like Frankie Valli.
Yeah,
like
but
Backstreet
even that,
Boys
they had more talent.
Idea.
Frankie Valli and
I'm just saying,
the Four Seasons had much more talent than the fucking Backstreet Boys.
Flock of Seagulls, Marky Mark. Because of them, it let boy bands like
Backstreet Mark
Boys
was in the 90s time.
No, I don't know. Timeline's a little messy.
You were
doing
a lot of cocaine in the 80s as a 2-year-old.
They allowed our modern boy bands. So talented to flourish. They paved the way so the Justin Timberlakes of the world could thrive.
No, see, you say these things. I don't know if you're trying to be funny.
I speak truth.
Ridiculous.
I'm just trying to get up above all this fake news about the 80s being bad music.
Well, that's the problem is the hair metal was kind of like the 80s funneled into this $100 bill where you're snorting the finest cocaine.
Like, I wear my sunglasses at night. Great song.
Yeah, but that's more like new wave pop.
Again, pave the way for Backstreet Boys and NSYNC 98 Degrees.
Yeah. Also, like, punk rock is known for, like, you know, started late 70s, Sex Pistols, Clash. But the 80s, I think, brought punk to... It's not talked about that much because the hair metal overshadowed it, but there was so much punk rock that was against, like, Ronald Reagan, the conservative age. You have, like, Black Flag... All these like weird obscure bands. There's a band that's just called Reagan Youth, as to like parody Hitler Youth, and it's some pretty hardcore stuff. Like you get the beginnings of like screaming and just really like wailing on your guitar, but, like you don't care.
And here's another point I'm gonna make about 80s music is that most of the bands that thrived in the 60s and 70s, there are very few artists who were able to go into the 80s and like actually put out decent music. For instance, you know, I'm a big Dead fan, I'm wearing a Dead shirt, but like Touch of Grey by the Grateful Dead, which is, I still enjoy the song, but it's not their best music. And then Led Zeppelin, All of My Love, another kind of just like very 80s sounding, Yes. Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Yeah, it kind of was like a proving ground for 60s and 70s musicians. And
Steve Miller,
you can kind of tie that to the technology. It's like they're trying to keep up with the production technology for one, like you're going from analog to digital, or at least the beginnings of it, and then, you know, like drum machines and synths trying to incorporate that stuff. So you get some weird, like Frankenstein stuff when you take these bands that dominated the old machinery. And
those bands do not thrive off of that. There are certain groups that did. Like if you were coming up in the 80s, you would thrive off of it.
Like Hall & Oates, they thrived off of that new technology.
Prince, Bruce Springsteen, another one. I don't know. I guess the 80s, I would say the 80s were a decade of excess.
Well, we're missing a whole genre that was, you know, I guess born in the 70s but really had its growth in the 80s is hip hop and rap. I watched one documentary about rap where some people, their idea was that, you know, Ronald, getting back to Reagan again, but he took a lot of money from the Department of Education. So all these schools where poor African-American youth had good music programs where they used to play jazz instruments and in like the school band. But now up school budgets cut, can't have your jazz instruments anymore. So then that forced them to turn the record player into an instrument, with their parents' old funk records and things like that. So I thought that was a neat way to look at it. I mean, unfortunate that music programs are cut anywhere, but...
And still being cut.
I mean, now more than ever, recently.
But that's a story for another day. Yeah. So I think that's a good place to end it, right? We talked about TV, we talked about film, we talked about music. So I think we covered most facets of the 80s besides actual, like, art on a canvas.
And drugs.
And, yeah, well, I feel like we've talked about cocaine and stuff. And
we don't really
podcasts.
Know about art on canvases.
Yeah,
we
well, got... actually, we spent, like, 20 minutes last podcast talking about art on canvases.
There was, like, 18, 14 Japanese art.
So does anyone else have anything to add real quick before we end the podcast? Don't do drugs, stay in school, save the music.
Besides that, do not Google 18th century Japanese porn. Yeah, it's bad. Don't do it.
Dare's coming back. Jeff Sessions is bringing it back.
I like Dare. I went to Dare camp, by the way. It was
What a loser.
Horror. All right, so, before, I know you're wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Worst thing that happened at Dare camp, they made me do a 5-mile run at the end of it, and they poked me with a fucking stick if I, started walking.
What?
I'd be the person poking with sticks.
Dude, I was so livid.
I actually just took a health class I needed to take, and one of the questions on the test was the DARE program effective? And the answer is no.
Because I'm high right now when I'm answering this question.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening to Keeping It 1492. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can find us on our website, keepingit1492.com. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Oh. And I don't care what anyone says, Flock of Seagulls is the greatest 80s band ever.